Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
We know that many of these businesses still can't get the loans and the capital they need to keep their doors open and hire new workers. That's why we've proposed steps to get them that help.
First step, visit Tasty Sub Shop in Edison, New Jersey. I'm Amy Eddings, in for Brian Lehrer. You might disagree with what President Obama has done while in office, but you can't say he's lazy. After signing financial reform legislation last week, he's moved on to urging legislators to turn their attention to helping small businesses by passing a loan program and new tax breaks. He'll be hosting a roundtable of small businesses in Edison while presumably eating some kind of sub sandwich. He also got his war funding passed and addressed the WikiLeaks leak yesterday, and he still has time for an appearance on The View and a fundraiser at Anna Wintour's house tonight. Joining me to discuss the news out of the White House this week is Alex Wagner, White House correspondent for Politics Daily. Welcome back to WNYC, Alex.
Thanks a lot. It's great to be here.
So the very busy president is in our area today, turning his attention to small businesses. What's his agenda on small businesses?
Obama has said that small businesses are sort of the engine of the American economy, and this is part of a continuing push. He's going to be talking about a Senate bill that's supposed to come to the Senate this week that will provide small banks with capital and incentive to lend to small businesses. It'll provide loan guarantee programs, tax incentives, and it will eliminate the capital gains tax on small businesses.
What's the current feeling from the Senate and from the Congress on these proposals?
You know, the House has already passed a version of the bill. There's skepticism on the right for the small business proposals that Obama's outlined, just because generally the Republicans are skeptical of all of the measures Obama has proposed on the economy. I think that there's a broad cloud of negative hanging over a lot of the measures he's taken in recent weeks, and this is part of it.
And I know part of that cloud coming from Republicans and from some Blue Dog Democrats is how much more this would add to the deficit. Do we have a price tag for some of these proposals?
I think it's supposed to be something like $300 billion, but I'm not sure exactly what the figure is. And anything at this point that adds to the deficit is an issue. I mean, I think you can look at the Republican blocking of the extension of unemployment benefits an example of how little they are inclined to put any more expenditures forward.
And why did President Obama pick New Jersey?
He picked New Jersey because I think one of the things Obama's trying to do, and today's a great example of that, is sort of reconnect with the working class. And he's going to a place called the Tasty Sub Shop, which is one of three franchises started by two high school friends. And I think his appearance on The View is another example of him trying to connect with working class middle America. And Edison, New Jersey also happens to be very close to New York City, where he's going to attend two swishy fundraisers tonight, one, as you mentioned, at the home of Anna Wintour and the other at the Four Seasons. So it's sort of a convenient highbrow, lowbrow visit for the president.
Right, right. We'll talk about your thoughts on his appearance on The View in a moment, but I want to turn to the big news this week. That's been the WikiLeaks leak of almost 100,000 secret documents on the war in Afghanistan. Next hour, we will be talking to Daniel Ellsberg, who famously leaked the Pentagon Papers during the Vietnam War, and also with New York Times media watcher David Carr about the media story of the WikiLeaks leak. But first, here's the president addressing the leaks yesterday.
The fact is, these documents don't reveal any issues that haven't already informed our public debate on Afghanistan. Indeed, they point to the same challenges that led me to conduct an extensive review of our policy last fall.
So basically, he said it's old news. He condemned the leak, but he didn't think anyone should think a review of his policy on the Afghan war was necessary. And sure enough, the House passed the war funding bill, which now goes to the president to sign. So does this mean, Alex, story over in terms of the political fallout of the WikiLeaks story?
If only. I think that, you know, today we're seeing reports that from, I think, the Times of London, saying that the names of certain Afghan sources are readily accessible in the WikiLeaks report, and this could endanger thousands of intelligence sources in the region and possibly put them in the line of fire with retaliation from the Taliban. And I think, you know, the division between Democrats, even in approving the $59 billion extension, the vote of 308 to 114 showed a lot more Democratic opposition to war funding. I mean, last year, 32 Democrats were against the extension of war funding, and this year, 102 were. I think that's a marked uptick, and it's very representative of the effect that the WikiLeaks scandal has had on this.
Senate Democrats were unable to break the filibuster yesterday on the Disclose Act after centrist Republicans Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins both said they would not vote for the bill. Now, this was the bill addressing transparency in campaign finance. It was in response to the recent Supreme Court ruling on the Citizens United case allowing corporations and unions to contribute unlimited funds to political campaigns. So now they can do so anonymously. Is there any life left, though, in the effort to force corporations and unions to reveal themselves when making political contributions? Is this the end of the Disclose Act?
You know, I think we'll see after the midterms. Look, the Republicans were very against this bill from Jump Street, basically, because they stand to share in the windfall of funding and money that will come to them from corporations seeking to influence elections. Some Democrats, like Senator Dianne Feinstein, were opposed to the bill because it had a carve-out for a special interest groups, including the NRA. Chuck Schumer, who is one of the sponsors of the bill, has said, look, it's not over yet. But I don't think you're going to see any movement ahead of the midterms this year.
We're taking listener calls. What should the women on The View ask the president? He's there for a taping later today. The show will be broadcast tomorrow. What do you think should be President Obama's focus before midterms? Give us a call at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer, and I'm speaking with Alex Wagner. She's the White House correspondent for Politics Daily. Alex, let's shift our focus to the Arizona immigration law that would allow law enforcement to check papers for anyone they suspect could be an illegal immigrant. It's set to go into effect tomorrow. The Justice Department has filed a case trying to block the law from being implemented. Do you have any intel on whether that law will be blocked? What's the chatter?
The chatter is that it looks like it's certain parts of it, and some of those being the most restrictive parts of the bill, are going to go through, although the judge has not handed down a decision. Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona has said she feels confident in the fact that it's going to go forward. You know, the Arizona law requires state and local law officials to check the immigration status of anyone they think might be in the country illegally, although there was an amendment made in May saying that law officials could only check the status of someone's immigration if they were stopping someone for another reason. And it makes, of course, a crime for anybody to be without proper documentation if they're in the country illegally. I think the big issue is that, you know, while the Obama administration has come out, you know, very much against this, with the president even commenting on it being misguided, a majority of Americans continue to support the bill. So we certainly have a thorny couple of weeks to look forward to.
We've got Alex from Brooklyn on the line. Alex, welcome to WNYC. What do you think President Obama, Anthony, I'm sorry, what do you think President Obama should be focusing on?
I know it's a bit quixotic to say it, but I think a more comprehensive energy policy in terms of trying to get us off fossil fuels. I know this goes back to President Nixon, but if there's ever a time, maybe the time he could try this again.
Anthony, thanks for your call. Yeah, you'd think... Alex Wagner, with the BP oil spill, many environmental activists were saying this is exactly the time where President Obama should be talking about reducing our dependence on fossil fuels and trying for a different kind of energy policy. Where does that stand amidst all of the things that on his to-do list?
It's it's endangered like the polar bears. I'd say even worse, probably. It looks like it's not going to happen, unfortunately. I mean, the reality, it's up to, you know, you whether you actually believe, whether you believe in global warming or think it's a pressing issue. I think the BP oil spill was enough of a kick in the rear as the Congress could have in terms of passing legislation, but it just, the votes weren't there. And I think this is part of a larger issue insofar as nothing happens without 60 votes anymore. And given the fact that there are midterm elections happening this year, everybody's going to be sort of riding their sides closely. And I don't imagine that there's going to be a lot of bipartisan effort in the coming months.
Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 with what you think President Obama should be focusing on in these few months before the midterm elections. April from Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Apparently I'm only allowed to ask one question for The View. And since this is a group of women, I would ask, why did he not support abortion rights for women in the health care bill the way he said he was going to during the campaign?
Thank you, April, for that call. Alex Wagner, remind us what happened there with the health, the debate about an abortion provision, abortion funding provision in the health care reform legislation.
Well, abortion is a very, very contentious issue, and certain members of, you know, it's one of those wedge issues where you're sort of, it's either a useful tool or a really annoying thing to try and tackle in terms of legislation. And eventually, you know, this sort of became a major debate on the health care bill and almost threatened to stymie its passage. And so I think Obama, while I believe he is probably a pro-choice president, was sort of, I think, in a large part hamstrung by those views and then sort of trying to reconcile those with the health care provisions. So in terms of him bringing it up on The View, I'm not sure he's going to want to do that as he's trying to stay away from sort of anything that's that incendiary on a major sort of, like I said, reaching to the middle of America, trying to be as middle ground as he possibly can be. I think he'll probably stay away from that and don't ask, don't tell, and any of these kind of social issues that stand to put him in the line of fire.
So the writers of Politics Daily, where you write, weighed in on his decision to go on The View. Some think it's a deft move by his press team. Some think it's a litmus test for where he stands with women voters. Some see it as a little desperate but necessary. He'll be the first sitting president to appear on The View. He appeared as a senator when he was campaigning. Why is he going on the show?
You know, like I said, this is part of a messaging campaign. Obama, if you look at, and I sort of on the Politics Daily site, this is one of the points I brought up, not to quote myself, but to quote myself. This is a White House that's had to deal with three pretty major scandals that are media-based in the last month. You have General McChrystal's resignation following the publication of a Rolling Stone article. You have the Shirley Sherrod affair that blew up on the internet. And then, of course, you have the WikiLeaks story that was another internet-based fiasco. So I think the White House is definitely trying to sort of get a grip back on the sort of cultural landscape, and this is their effort at doing so. I also think you're looking at a White House that is dealing with some pretty negative numbers in terms of job approval for the president, and this is their effort to sort of break out of the Washington scene and talk to America directly.
And are his people the people who watch The View? What about Oprah, who was a big early fan of President Obama?
Yeah, and I in terms of demographics, I think there's probably for sure some crossover, but because of The View, sort of they're multiple anchors or hosts, if you will, and from a variety of from across the political spectrum, and I think maybe that is more palatable to the administration that wants to talk to both, you know, conservatives, people who may be interested in the Tea Party but not quite Tea Partiers themselves, people who are liberal, people who are progressive, and The View sort of offers maybe more, like I said, more of that spectrum. That said, I don't want to say anything bad about Oprah because she's the most powerful woman in media.
Right.
So, you know, maybe this is a sort of precursor, and we have to look Oprah appearances to look forward to in the future.
And we also can look forward to Barbara Walters' return on The View tomorrow after she had heart valve replacement surgery in May. So welcome back to that veteran journalist. Amy from Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi. The most important issue for President Obama to focus on is the environment and global climate disruption, because it's the most important issue in the world. If we don't deal with that, there's hardly any other problem you could name that will not get worse.
And you're dissatisfied with his record on environmental issues so far?
I would have liked to see him push harder to get the energy bill through the Senate. I mean, everything that he's already dealt with and things that he hasn't, health care needs, war, immigration issues, housing, if the oceans rise, it's going to be less, people are going to be squeezed out of their living space, and everything is going to get worse. Security, infrastructure problems, and the economy, both directly because of the cost of dealing with it and the costs incurred by all these other things.
Thank you, Amy, for your comment. Amy from Manhattan here on the Brian Lehrer Show. Alex, we already spoke briefly about the energy bill and the likelihood of that happening. Let's take another call from Troy in Brooklyn. Troy, you're on WNYC.
Good morning. I would like the panel on The View to ask President Obama, what about the jobs that Wall Street are currently shedding? They're going to Mumbai, India. Well, their economy is growing while others are shrinking. These are Wall Street jobs that organizations have taken money during the TARP period and et cetera. But these jobs are still shrinking. Even September is predicted to be a job season that's going to be shredded from Wall Street. A lot of jobs are leaving the New York area. I haven't heard anything about it. Our own president is even aware of India's growing economy while ours is shrinking. What are we going to do about these job losses?
Troy, thanks so much for your call.
Thank you.
Alex, where has the president stood in terms of tariffs, in terms of any way to try to keep more jobs in the United States and the migration of jobs to other nations?
I think jobs, as much as it hasn't seemed like that's job number one, as it were, for the president, it's increasingly a drum he's beating. I mean, you've seen he's named this season Recovery Summer, and he's gone sort of trotted around the country going to factories, going to plants, talking about stimulus funds and how they're being used to create jobs in America. And to the question about his concern about, whether there is concern about jobs leaving the country, the president has talked about that a little bit, not so much on India, but more on China. And that's one of the reasons he's been pushing green jobs and jobs in the renewable energy sector. Because China is, he constantly talks about China being sort of the leader in green jobs and how America's really got to pony up and become a leader in renewable and clean technology. And so as a result of that, he's highlighted Recovery Act projects in the green sector all over the country. I mean, I think the issue is that the White House has pointed to this, we're dealing with a recession that's unprecedented. And to climb out of the hole, it's going to take time. But that doesn't change the fact that 14 million Americans are unemployed. And, until those metrics improve, I think the optics and the impression the American public has is that Obama isn't doing enough.
And do you know, really, whether job creation is happening faster overseas, that more companies are choosing to create the jobs that they do create overseas than creating the jobs here? Or is this so global that even Mumbai, India is hiring fewer people?
I wouldn't know the actual sort of employment rates now versus, a year ago in Mumbai, but I do know that in terms of the global recession, other parts of the world haven't felt it as much, and China, again, is a great example of that. They've grown at a much more rapid pace in terms of jobs than many other parts of the country, and especially ours, many other parts of the world, especially ours. Mm-hmm. And I think, there's a certain amount of frustration and jealousy, especially when you're out of work. Why are these countries ahead of us when we're supposed to be, the superpower, the global superpower?
Alex Wagner is White House correspondent for Politics Daily. Thanks for joining us here on the Brian Lehrer Show.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, after cutting back on service, the MTA is now proposing a fare hike, and it may mean getting rid of unlimited Metro cards. Stay tuned.